Right, we're back to these verses, the Moses section in Hebrews 11. And our title for the message that I mentioned is Moses, Lawmaker and Grace Taker. And I have taken this title because Moses, forever and a day, is linked with the law. And he was, of course, there at Mount Sinai. He received the Ten Commandments. And every time in the New Testament you read the name Moses, you immediately think lawgiver, the one who is associated with the law. Indeed, he is so identified with the law that in the typology of God, he was not allowed to bring the children of Israel into the land of Canaan. He was shut out of Canaan. And he died, of course, prior to Joshua leading the people into the promised land. And that is because Moses is linked, as I say, so much to the law. And the law can never bring you into heaven. It took Joshua, who is the type of Jesus, his very name is the Old Testament name for Jesus. It took Joshua to bring the people into the promised land. Moses could not lead the people in. Now, there is built into that whole idea and knowledge of Moses the automatic danger that people think that Moses, and therefore those who followed his law, were saved, redeemed, made right with God by a law work. Well, let's consider a few other things about Moses. He is the man who brought the children out of Egypt. He is the man who stood up to Pharaoh and gave the information about the Passover night and how they believed. And then, of course, brought them through the Red Sea. And all of that is the story of redemption. When you get to the book of Revelation, and the chapters line up very well, by the way, because Exodus 15 is the story of, you know, the song of Moses, how they sang on the other side after Pharaoh was destroyed, the Red Sea closed in, destroyed Pharaoh, and the Israelites had escaped, and they sang the song of Moses. Well, in Revelation 15, in heaven they sing the song of Moses and the Lamb. And so Moses is also linked to redemption. And then you also see that Moses turns up on the Mount Transfiguration. And there in that ministry of the Lord Jesus, Elijah appears and Moses appears. He was right there. But then there is that thorny verse in John chapter 1:17, which says that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And they say, aha, that means Moses is only law. It was grace and truth that came through the Lord Jesus. But let's put that into proper perspective, because Moses didn't tell lies. Grace and truth came by the Lord Jesus to a higher degree, no doubt. He was the Word personified. He was the living Word of God. Yes, Jesus came and brought the truth, and he was grace, but so was Moses. So was Moses. Now, is there any biblical proof that Moses enjoyed grace as well as setting out the law? Well, let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 33. The book of Exodus, chapter 33, and verse 13. Now, therefore, I pray thee, and here is Moses in the mount with God, and he is saying, now, therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight. Well, let's go back to verse 12, and you'll see that grace comes up again. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now, for those who just joined us, let me just summarize where we're going here, where we're coming from. The thought is that Moses is all law and only law. Every time you hear, especially the Jews, referring to Moses, they're always resting on the law. They think on legal terms. And that may give the thought that people in the Old Testament and Moses himself were somehow saved by the law. Well, the law certainly was given to them. It was a rule of life, but it was not a ladder to heaven. We learned that this morning in Sunday school. And we see here in Exodus 33 that Moses received grace. And I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may find grace in thy sight. Oh, Moses was all on for it. He was a man who enjoyed grace, the fullness of the blessing of God as a gift. That's grace. And you'll see that played out in these verses. Go down to verse 17. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight. And so we have right here this biblical proof that Moses was enjoying God's grace. He was enjoying redemption. He was enjoying the fullness of God's favor upon his life. Well, what about the Ten Commandments? Well, it's very interesting to know that in Exodus chapter 20, when God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, he prefaced it, I am the Lord that brought thee out of bondage. In other words, they were a redeemed people. And the law was given to them because of the grace they had already received. And the liberty that they were enjoying, brought out of Egypt and all its bondage through the Red Sea. The Red Sea, of course, is chapter 14. Exodus 20 is the giving of the Ten Commandments up there in the mount with God. And God said that I have redeemed thee and I've delivered you from bondage. Now he gave them the Ten Commandments. And so the Ten Commandments is not a way to be redeemed. It's not a way to be saved. It is not grace, but it is given to complement grace, that we might live and enjoy God to the full. And so when we preach the Ten Commandments, it's not legalism taking people back into bondage, but rather it is based on the wonderful blessing as children of God and to go through with him. So that's my introduction tonight. Moses, he's not just the lawmaker, but he is the grace taker. Now, three areas that I want to go with tonight. First of all, the time of his faith, when he believed. The truths for his faith, that is, what he believed. And then the triumph of his faith, the so what of his believing, or the results of his believing. So when we come to Hebrews 11, we're going to find here that there was a certain development in his life where he was brought to this life of faith in God. Now, the story of Moses is well known by so many of God's people. We know the story of birth, childhood, and how he was adopted into the household of Pharaoh. And as a young man, he was raised by his mother, and that he was to enjoy all the riches and all the benefits, not only of Egypt, but of royalty within Egypt. Now in Hebrews 11, verse 24, you read when faith began to take a hold on Moses' life. By faith Moses, when he was come 2 years. Now somehow, and I have a feeling that it was his mother that was his nurse, not only physically, but his mentor spiritually. And I'm sure that she made it known, Moses, you don't belong to Egypt, you belong to God's people. You are one of the Hebrew children. And however Moses learned that, and he came to years to understand the meaning of what it was to be a Hebrew and not to be an Egyptian, you will see that it was by faith. There was this enlightenment of his heart, and he came to understand the fullness of the meaning of that, what it meant to be one of God's children, and not just to be adopted into the family and household of Pharaoh. Now, that when that got a hold of him, and when that truth gripped his heart, we're told here when he was come to years, refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter, to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He wanted to make that very, very clear. Now, there was a real decision in this. It says that he refused. There was the assumption, there was the automatic bestowment of rights and privileges and every benefit to him. But you will see here that Moses was by no means an opportunist. He was by no means taking the line, well, let's figure this out. What's to my benefit? What will make me have a good life? If he had done that, he would have no doubt stayed within the pale of Egypt and of the royal court and the royal family. And I wonder how many sleepless nights he had, tossing and turning the options over in his mind. What shall I do? Will I remain an Egyptian by my adoption? Or will I come out and declare that I belong to the people of God? What shall I do? Well, verse 25 goes on to show the choice he made. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. What a crossroads he was at right here. He had all the wonders of Egypt before his eyes and within his grasp. Could we calculate the economic loss of the decision that Moses was now making? Could you calculate the social loss of the pleasures of Egypt as he made this decision? I'm no longer going to be known as an Egyptian. I am among or the chosen of God. And no doubt the day he declared that, he went from hero to zero. From a promising young man to public enemy number one. And he was ready to be done in. Now we know how this developed, that he was out in public and he noticed the mistreatment of one of his fellow Hebrews. And he has now made up his mind. I'm a Hebrew. I'm aligned with the Hebrews. And when he saw the mistreatment, the cruelty of that Egyptian soldier with his whip lashing a Hebrew, Moses, in a sense, couldn't help himself. He had to step in. He had to defend one of his own. And you know the story, how it developed, that he ended up killing the man. Not the victim, but the soldier, the slave driver. Buried him in the sand. And then soon it was discovered and his life was in great danger. And then he was finished with Egypt. And he took off to the land of Midian, where he lived for 40 years, choosing. What does it say here? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And the Bible tells us that he made that decision because of a work of faith in his heart. And you know, that's how the gospel plays out. That's what happens when a man or woman is converted. You now are given a new heart, a new disposition, new desires with new loyalties. You're born from above. You're no longer a child of the world or a child of the devil, but you belong to the Lord and to His people and His cause. It changes our first love. We are on the side of truth and righteousness, and all that plays out in the life of the true born-again Christian, just as it did in Moses, by faith Moses, when he was come of years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you do that in your heart and in your service for God as a Christian. You've made a decision. Now, it's not just a wimpy decision. Oh, okay, I'll do it. No, this is a life-changing choosing to align yourself with the people of God, to be known as a Christian, as a Christ one, to profess Him, and to let the world know that you belong to the Lord Jesus. That's what the Christian life is. Now, if we're coming to be saved, we of course go to Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess the Lord Jesus with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You've got to confess. You've got to call on the Lord. But Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. So there's a public declaration of our new position, new standing in grace. You've got to do that. You can't live an effective Christian. You can't live as an obedient Christian. You can't go through with God and hold back on that definite public decision for the Lord Jesus. What about silent believers? Will they get to heaven? Will a silent believer, you know, one of those people that in the depths of their hearts say, well, this is just personal between me and God and I'm not going to tell anybody. Will they get to heaven? Yes, they'll get to heaven. Will they have all the rewards of heaven? No. Will they have the well done, the good and faithful servant? No. What about the underground church in China? What about people who live years and years a part of the secret underground church because of the dangers that they would face if they declared themselves to be a Christian? They may end up in a prison cell or even executed by declaring that they were a Christian. Well, you read the biographies of the men and the leaders of the Chinese underground church. Let me tell you, they were not afraid to stand up for Christ. Oh, not at all. Many, with a great risk, gave leadership and preached and taught the Word of God. But there was a prudence required as to how to confess Christ. Now, we're the wimps. We're the people that, at no cost or no threat to our lives, speak so little for the Lord. So please, think of Moses and this definite choice, refusing to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Right, so that's the timing of his faith. What about the truths that Moses believed? Well, these truths, well, what he believed. Let's look at verse 25, 26, and we'll get a hold of this. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now, I want you to see that one-liner in Hebrews 11:26, esteeming the reproach of the Lord Jesus. Now, think of what Moses was seeing with his eyes every day. He saw the poverty of the slaves. He saw and smelled the stench of the slums of the Israelites. He saw the glory of the riches of Egypt. But there's truths that got a hold of him, esteeming, we are told here, the reproach of Christ. Now, was he thinking straight? Was he not mad? Did he lose his senses? I'm sure there were people who have said that Moses had the Egyptian dream right within his reach, and he threw it away. He threw it all away. Well, the word esteem means to calculate. It really means that Moses did the math, and he put on the one side of the ledger versus the other side all that Egypt offered, its pomp, its fame, its pleasures, and he put all that the Hebrew children of Israel hoped in as the covenant people of God. And he came up with a particular decision. Now, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect. That means that was his focus. That was the very thing that he underlined in his mind. Respect unto the recompense of the reward. And the recompense there means the payout. There's going to be a reward for the people of God. Now, if you link that reward in verse 26 with verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So Moses not only thought of the future of these poor, ragged, impoverished slaves, but he thought of the God of promise, who would reward his children with eternal riches. What a calculation Moses made. For he was looking to the reward, the big payout, the recompense of the reward. Now, is this a joke? Is this like gambling, where you throw all your money into one bet? Is it going to get paid off? How can anyone be sure of such a reward? Well, verse 6 is the key to it, because God is the rewarder. And so this is not some mere rule of economy based on statistics. This is not guesswork based on the laws of probability. But this, Moses had his faith in the nature and character of God. God is a rewarder. And I'm going to join the Hebrews, and I'm going to be a child of God, because God's payout is eternal reward. And he put on the other side the riches of Egypt, verse 25, the pleasures of sin for a season, for an occasion, it means. And that's all that sin can offer you. That's all sin can do for you, is to give you some little bit of gratification for the here and now. But it's going to end. It's going to die. It's going to come. It'll soon be over. Now, Moses believed in Christ. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And he got his eyes on the Lord Jesus, the life, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and all of his accomplishments. And there was the truths that he fixed upon. Now, Moses left Egypt when he was 40 years old. He went out into Midian. And it was not until he was in Midian that God met him at the burning bush and revealed himself again as the I Am. the self-existent, almighty, all-powerful, unchanging, eternal God, the I Am. But Moses had that faith already before he left Egypt. And he had his eye on the eternal worth of God. And that's what's going to enable you to serve God in this world, where you see the riches of men, where you are tempted with the sins, the pleasure of sin for a season, and the grace that God gives to turn away from those things, to reject them, is because you're looking to the God who will reward obedience, faith, acceptance of God. And so in a sense, every Christian makes a calculation. Every Christian does the math. Does it pay to serve the world? Or does it pay to serve God? Now the simple answer is, the world pays in pleasure terms for a little season. But there'll come a day you can't enjoy it. There'll come a day when your body can't do the things it used to do. There'll come a day when money will fail, when these bodies and frames will just perish. Then it's over. And we burn and endure eternal torment, separated from God for all eternity. But the Christian who chooses God, he has every blessing in Christ. Now, if you look at Hebrews 11:27, you will see here, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses had his eyes on God, and he knew God, and that enabled him to endure all the hardship, the heartbreak, the loneliness, 40 years in the backside of a desert, but he endured. Now, as a Christian, you have to calculate the cost. Indeed, Jesus invites people to count the cost of carrying and taking up the cross. And if you're not willing to count the cost and bear the cross, you cannot be his disciple, and you won't be his disciple. You'll go to the world. You'll jump into the first temptation of the pleasure of sin for a little while. That's the calculation the Christian has to make. So there are the truths. I want you to think of the triumphs. And in this passage, and I'm sticking with the passage here, I could roam through the book of Exodus, of course, and look at all the life of Moses, but I'm going to stick with Hebrews 11 here, and I see the triumphs of Moses. You look at verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. That was a triumph. And if you're forsaking the world tonight, you've said no to the world, you are going to serve God as a Christian in your daily walk in this world. That's a victory. That's a tremendous victory. And then in verse 28, he kept the Passover. That again, by faith. Through faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. And you know the events of that night when the angel of death would visit and the firstborn would die. Every home with the blood sprinkled upon it, the firstborn were safe. And Moses did it, and Moses persuaded others to do it. He put his trust in the blood mark of God's way of redemption, and he learned the lesson of redemption by a lamb. That was a victory. That's the triumph of faith, and that's what we're learning as Christians, redemption by a lamb. And then verse 29, it tells us again another great triumph of his faith, that they passed through the Red Sea. And what a mighty triumph that was. You remember that moment when Moses was standing on the shore and the sea was before him, the mountains to the side, the Pharaoh's army behind, and God said, "Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now, it took faith to obey that one. just before, because as they stepped in, the sea opened and God led them through. And what a great triumph of faith that was. There's one more triumph that I would add to this, and that was that day on the mountain when he had received the law and they had seen the glory of God. And Moses said in Exodus 33, verse 18, he prayed this prayer, "Show me thy glory. Show me thy glory." And there Moses, more than any man, got a glimpse of the eternal God. And his life was spared. And you know how his face shone. What fellowship with God. What an experience of God. All because he, by faith, forsook Egypt and followed through to serve God. What a great story of triumph. And here is a history of God's power for his people and power against his enemies. All because of God's grace to his people. And so Moses was not just a lawmaker, but he was a grace taker. Moses was given the law to enjoy God to the full. But it was because he received grace and by faith that he made those decisions, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. It's not easy being a Christian tonight, today, in this world. When you mingle with the ungodly in the workplace and go in the streets and you see the behavior and the lifestyle of the ungodly, those that are living for this world, and boy, are they ever happy in it. They seem to be the happiest people. They seem to be reveling in what Hebrews here calls the pleasure of sin for a season. And you might be tempted and lured to join them. But the Christian has made a conscious decision to choose, to step out and be identified as a child of God, an heir of grace, waiting for that day of reward when all the seeming losses of this world will be immeasurably rewarded. And all those opportunities that we turned our back on because we're a Christian, God will, without fail and endlessly, reward. So let us be like Moses. Let us rejoice that God is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I pray that you will take this very position of Moses. Go through with God and serve him all your days. And may this word stir your heart to make those same choices. As temptation comes, as the devil whispers in your ear, as you may be prey to a spirit of unbelief, that you might be stirred in heart by faith. Let's pray together before we close in our final hymn tonight. Father, we come, we have searched your word this evening, we have come to this life of Moses, and oh God, what a great, great work you did in him. We thank thee that he was willing, ready by your grace, to serve the Lord and to go through with thee. Lord, what a challenge comes to us in our day and generation. Lord, I pray that we may not be moved by the things of pleasure that are visible, but that our eyes will be upon God, the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Lord, make us diligent and teach us what it means to seek thee, to go through with thee with all our hearts. Bless your people tonight. Thank you for each one here. Lord, may your Holy Spirit fill us and fit us. Fill us full of faith and grant us great grace in these days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to the hymnal again, to number 290. 290. O people selected by sovereign love, through free grace, elected to glory above. What cause for uniting? Your voices to sing. What cause for delighting in Jesus, your King? 290. Shall we stand? Lord, bless and encourage every heart tonight. We pray for your grace in the week to come, for your watch care over each one of us in our homes, families, work, school. We pray for your presence, Lord. May we live daily in your presence and in the enjoyment of all that we have in our Savior. Now dismiss us with your blessing tonight. May the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, the fellowship of God the Holy Spirit be with your people now and ever. Amen.